Welcome back in. Hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning. And we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in friend of the show, Stephen Holder from The Athletic. Stephen, what's going on? How are we doing?
I'm doing great. How about you guys?
We are great. Appreciate you taking time to be with us today. So, Stephen, obviously you were there for the Super Bowl. What did you think of the game, and what do you think this win does for Matthew Stafford and his legacy as he moves forward with his career?
Yeah, I think the big thing is just I thought this was a couple of teams that had some, you know, sort of distinct weaknesses. There's no question about that. I mean, you know, the Rams and their struggles in trying to sort of create balance on their offense. I mean, they had a hard time with that. You know, really historic struggle in running the football in a Super Bowl. And then the Rams, just the continued inability to really hold up front, you know, with that offensive line against just a historic pass rusher like Aaron Donald. I think, you know, some of the things that happened were a little bit predictable, but I think the Rams handled it better, frankly, and they found a way. You know, I think for the Bengals, they're going to obviously have a lot to figure out this offseason, but they know where to start, and they know what they have to do. Yes, about Matthew Stafford, I really think, you know, I don't think this is necessarily, you know, the game that puts him in the Hall of Fame or anything like that. I still think maybe he's a notch below, but I do think that this really is something I wrote about a few days ago. You know, some of these moments in your career really define you. And he made plays in this game to help the Rams win it. They don't win this game without Matthew Stafford making some critical plays. So he had a direct link to the result of this game, and I think that is, for him, is the first opportunity he had, I think, to really define himself like this in his career, and he came through. So that says a lot about a guy, and it really does change the complexion of how you're viewed historically.
Yeah, no question. And, Stephen, I saw you on Twitter, like me, marveling at the angle, the particular angle of the no look pass to Cooper Kupp, which was just ridiculous. And, you know, making those plays when Odell Beckham goes out, I mean, obviously you wrote about Kupp off the game and the fact that, look, I mean, once Odell Beckham got hurt, things changed in that game. And it was all about taking Cooper Kupp away, and they did that until the very end, but they forced it to him and it worked out. So, in the aftermath here, let me ask you this, Stephen. Who would you feel better about getting back here in a year between these two teams?
You know, I think the Rams are going to have some questions to answer. I mean, you know, we'll see what happens with Aaron Donald and the questions about his future. But even if you take that out of the equation, let's say he's back, because we don't really have any sense of where that's going. But let's assume he's back. Even so, you have really a team that right now, two of the critical pieces that helped them get there are free agents. You know, you're talking about Von Miller and Odell Beckham. They don't win this Super Bowl without those two guys. I think with the contributions that they had, I mean, Odell looked like he was on his way to winning MVP had he not gotten hurt in this game. And he made key plays in the playoffs to help them get here as well. So I think they went about this very differently. There's no question about that. I mean, just where they are in their building processes, these two teams, they're in very different places. I mean, the Rams were sort of at the end of that process. The Bengals are more toward the beginning. You know, I think in the long term, the Bengals got a shot to do it next year and for years to come, frankly. The Rams have to figure out if they can sustain this. I mean, that's the hardest thing. I mean, they've mortgaged a lot of their future to get this opportunity. You can't knock them. It worked. But the question was always going to be, number one, there's a couple of questions. Number one, would it work? It did work. But then number two, then what? And so I think that, you know, this is something that I'm addressing now in a story. You know, is this a viable path? You know, this sort of all-in approach the Rams took, is this a viable path for other teams? We've seen now the Buccaneers and the Rams sort of use this approach to great success the last couple of years. I think the question is on the backside, though, not on the front side.
Stephen Holder from The Athletic on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Stephen, you know, obviously the quarterback situation in Indianapolis of heavy interest here locally with Titans fans as to what's going to happen with Carson Wentz. And we saw the reports coming out from Chris Mortensen over the weekend about maybe Wentz being released or traded by March 18th. And you've talked with us about, you know, the options at quarterback. The market's not that great. And if they did make a move, you know, maybe the financial part of it wouldn't be an obstacle for the Colts. What's kind of the latest of your thoughts on the quarterback situation for Indianapolis and what the future could look like for Carson Wentz as they move forward here?
Well, look, they're doing what you would expect they would do under the circumstances, which is kind of investigate the situation. So that's where we're at. Look, I can tell you this. I mean, look, it makes a lot of sense that they would be looking to move on. I mean, that is not a stretch. However, I do think everything I've been told, and I had a conversation about this on Sunday morning, they haven't made an actual decision yet. Now, they have kind of said a lot of things that I think have put a lot of stress on the situation. I do think some of the public comments, whether from the owner or the general manager, they've put a lot of stress on the situation, because how does, you know, can Carson Wentz come back amid comments like that? That's a question. So it certainly looks like they might be indicating a move of some kind. But at the end of the day, they don't have an alternative. There's no plan B right now, not on this roster currently. And there's no obvious point B elsewhere in the NFL that they can access right now. So that is still the obvious issue here. And they don't have nothing's changed on that front. You know, so I do think, though, the next few weeks, we're in that window here between now and the start of free agency, where I do think that answers will be forthcoming, because this isn't something that they can kind of wait until before the draft to figure out. If they're going to make a move, they have to do it, I think, in the next few weeks.
See, that's strange, Steven, because I've been told by some people around here that it's a piece of cake. You just go get Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson, and there you go. You know, you're all set. I mean, they're available, right?
Yeah, just wave the magic wand, and there you go.
Exactly. To the angle you're writing about now, I mean, that's a great idea, and I think it's what a lot of people are talking about around the NFL. One question I would ask on that, the idea of, you know, is this like, should you go all in sort of thing? I guess when you see two teams win it like this back to back, how can you justify to your fans, if you're a team that's somewhat in this range, not going for it?
Yeah. I mean, you know, one of the teams, frankly, that comes to mind is Titans. You know, they're a team that they're a candidate, you know, and look, it's not that simple. It's not as if you wake up one morning and say, all right, we're going for it, right? You know, things have to fall in place, opportunity has to arise, and things like that. But you can be uber aggressive, and I think, you know, even though, you know, one of the things that I think influences that is, you know, is there pressure on the leadership, you know, to turn a corner. Now, obviously, Mike Vrabel's coach of the year, and I believe they recently got contract extensions, he and John Robbins. So I don't think, you know, they're necessarily on the hot seat in a traditional sense. But it's a hot seat in this regard, because they have a very good team. We know they have a very capable team, and there's no real sense that they can take the next step without doing something. And I think that's kind of the problem. You know, are you spinning your wheels? And if you ask yourself that question and you feel the answer is yes, then I think that's where you kind of maybe are influenced by what's happened in the last couple of postseasons. I mean, I really do think it's it may, I'm not saying it's a game changer necessarily, But it's made it really something to think about, and I think something that may be viable for a team like the Titans if that opportunity arises.
Stephen Holder from The Athletic has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Stephen, we appreciate, as always, you taking time to be with us this morning.
Hey, you got it. No problem.
Absolutely. Stephen Holder from The Athletic does a great job covering all things NFL. We'll come back. We'll react to what Stephen had to say there. Welcome more of your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Attention, men. Have you been struggling with erectile dysfunction? Well, Hillside Medical Clinic has a breakthrough treatment for ED that does not require any pills, injections, or surgery. And right now, Andrew joins me from Hillside Medical Clinic to tell us all about it. Andrew, what's going on?
Hello there. That's right. This technology is helping so many men. If Valentine's Day didn't go as planned this year, maybe you're frustrated in the bedroom experiencing erectile dysfunction. Our acoustic wave therapy at Hillside Medical Clinic uses pulsating waves, which gently open up and regrow the blood vessels. Finally, for the first time in 30 years, it's treating the root cause of the problem by improving blood flow without any medication.
And Andrew, what kinds of clinical studies have been done on this technology?
Well, that's what's so great is this is not a theory. This is backed by 50 studies from major universities and hospitals. It has been thoroughly vetted for 10-plus years, shown to be safe and effective, and was called the new standard of care for erectile dysfunction.
And Andrew, you have a special offer for our listeners call in right now.
That's right. Put a stop to your ED, guys, and get back to once where you once were in the bedroom. Call us now. You'll meet with our medical provider free. He'll do the assessment exam and blood flow ultrasound at no charge. Plus this gift, very popular. It produces immediate results in the bedroom. It's worth hundreds of dollars, and it's totally free.
You heard it, guys. You can put a stop to your erectile dysfunction by treating the root cause of the problem. Call Hillside Medical Clinic right now to qualify for that offer at 615-576-5000. That's 615-576-5000. Put a stop to your ED and regain your love life. Call Hillside Medical Clinic right now at 615-576-5000. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And I've got a four-pack of wristbands to give away to the 46th Annual National Wild Turkey Federation Convention at Opryland coming up February the 16th. Through the 20th, be caller number 5 at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller number 5 will win a four-pack of wristbands to the 46th Annual National Wild Turkey Federation Convention at Opryland coming up later this week, the 16th through the 18th, and I'll be out there as well on Friday from 2 to 4, so looking forward to that one. 615-737-1025. Thanks to Stephen Holder from The Athletic for joining us in this past segment. Did I detect from Stephen Holder maybe even more of a Team Stillman / Team Curtis take on Matthew Stafford and saying Hall of Fame, he's just below it. He's a cut below it. What's your reaction, Joe Rexroad? Are you by yourself? Are you on an island?
Oh, no. I'm not on an island. If you want to go, I can show you a whole bunch of links of people who think he's in. In fact, I'm not all the way on that crew. We talked about it yesterday. If it ended today, is he in the Hall of Fame? He's not in the first ballot, and he may not get in at all. I think there's a decent chance if it ended today, he wouldn't be in. There are people writing, go back to my former employer, the Detroit Free Press, people over there think it's over. He's in.
Yeah.
And that may be a little Homer-ish.
Detroit Rams.
Exactly. So I think Steven's about right. Again, I'm saying he's put himself in position. It was never even, it was never, as far as I know, discussed about Matthew Stafford before this year. And if it was, it shouldn't have been. It was basically just he accumulated a lot of stats, very talented guy, bad teams, no playoff wins, all that stuff. A lot of comebacks because he had to with the Lions, but he has put himself in position now to have a shot at, to make a run at it. He's got to do more.
So what did you think of the way that Steven talked about the Carson Wentz situation? Because he brought up an interesting point that we batted around a little bit that I think is fascinating. I mean, they've been pretty publicly critical of the offense, the quarterback play, everything really involved with it in Indianapolis. And this is coming from ownership. It's coming from Chris Ballard. I mean, they've been pretty vocal about their disappointment level of missing the playoffs and the quarterback position moving forward. Let's say that Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers are not available, which I still think is a pretty likely scenario. What are you doing at quarterback then if you're the Colts? And if it's Carson Wentz coming back, like how big a deal do you think it is that they've been this vocal against their quarterback, basically taking not the total opposite approach of John Robinson and Mike Vrabel, but at the very least a very different approach of Mike Vrabel and John Robinson in Indianapolis?
I don't think it's like – I don't think it's that big of a deal from a Wentz perspective. I'll tie it again to, you know, David Poyle left Matt Duchene and Ryan Johansson unprotected, and some in this town thought they were going to curl up in a ball and cry about it all year and not play. Well, they had great off seasons. They're having great seasons. And Carson Wentz is going to respond. You better be playing with an edge and understanding that it's hard to even stay in the league. But from a fan perspective, it does feel like they're kind of sending the signal like, we don't want this guy, you know? And I guess I'd love to know how the Indy fan approval rating of Carson Wentz breaks down right now, but I wouldn't think it'd be super high. So when you say stuff like that, like Titans fans, I think are sort of, you know, realistically coming to terms here with the fact that Ryan Tannehill is going to be their quarterback next year. Now, some people were writing that from the very second the season ended because that's just the reality of it. But also their statements have helped sort of make it clear. Whatever, you know, whether they feel as strongly as they say or they're just making sure to say it so people understand the situation, I think everybody gets that he's going to be back. If I'm a Colts fan, seeing all this stuff that especially Irsay has been saying, then in my mind, I'm like, okay, so they're moving on from Wentz. They want to move on. And now you have the Mortensen report. So I feel like it's a bigger letdown for them if they end up just running it back with him. Whereas I think here people get that this is reality.
Well, I'm sitting here trying to view this like through the lens of a Titans fan. If you're watching this go on in Indianapolis with Carson Wentz, like to me, unless there's something just totally out of left field that I don't expect to happen this offseason, it's either Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers. And if it's not one of those two guys, is there anybody that if you're a Titans fan, they could go get where you're just like, oh, goodness gracious, now we're going to get beat in AFC South. Like there's a whole lot of Jimmy G chatter out there now. Like maybe it's Jimmy G that's going to be the one that ends up in Indianapolis. And look, I don't know that I feel that much differently about Jimmy G than I do Carson Wentz. I think he's got moments where he can be really good. And I think he's got moments where he looks awful. I get it. He's had more playoff success than Carson Wentz has had by far. I understand that. But Jimmy G, to me, is not some huge upgrade on Carson Wentz. So, you know, if it's not going to be Wilson or Rodgers, I don't know that there's a realistic scenario that's out there. If you're a Titans fan where you're like, oh, boy, really scared of the Colts making a quarterback move this offseason.
No, and Jimmy G is probably the most realistic alternative. And he could honestly be a downgrade. I think he's probably a little safer, but he doesn't do some of the things that Wentz can do outside the pocket. So it'd be pretty similar overall. I think in overall quality and how it impacts your bottom line, I just don't think it'd be that big of a difference. Obviously, the Colts could love someone in the draft, and they have capital that they could move up in the draft and go get one of these rookies. But even if that's the case, if you're, if you're the Titans, at least you feel good about 22, you know, in the AFC South, maybe they do get a great quarterback who's going to be their next 10-year starter. And then that's a problem for you down the road. But at least, I mean, in the short term, that would be at least, I mean, you'd still be, I think, the clear favorite. Like if they go up and, let's say they move way up and they go get a Pickett, who I think is probably the safest bet in this class. Or, there's some other good quarterbacks in there. He's probably the one I feel best about. Do you think that any of those guys are coming in right away and leading them to, you know, like a 12-5, 13-4 season? I'd be very surprised.
I don't think it's a reach to say that Davis Mills may be better than whoever the Colts would draft at quarterback next year. I don't think that's a reach. Maybe not a stretch.
Maybe not.
I promise one day I'll stop.
Way to jump on that. No,
it's just not going to be anytime soon.
Sometimes we lead, you know, kind of logically into Davis Mills talk, but you just jumped right in and just went out and you reached and grabbed him and pulled him in there. So,
which is difficult to do. I did. There's no question about it. Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that says, what about Deshaun Watson for the Colts? I just don't really see him being traded. Like, how do you trade Deshaun Watson right now? Before there's a resolution in his situation, like, number one, if you're the Texans, if you trade him, I'm going to assume you're going to want to get max value for him. Like, his values just can't be as high as it is. Like, right now, like if a team's trading for Deshaun Watson, what are they giving up? Because I'm not giving up a ton if there's a chance that he couldn't play this year. Like, that doesn't make a ton of sense to do that. So, my guess is Deshaun Watson is probably just going to stay put until his situation with the NFL is resolved one way or the other.
Yeah, which, gosh, you would think maybe that would start moving in that direction. But yeah, he's not gonna end up in the same division. As stupid as the Texans are, as dysfunctional and messed up as they are as an organization, they do, I think, understand that they're not going to trade him to a division rival.
I'm not willing to say 100% with some of the decisions that come out of that place.
Fair. Maybe they'll trade him to the Jags and Texans and just swap QBs or something, you know?
Maybe so. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. We got some more of your thoughts to get to on how the Titans should use A.J. Brown as they move forward here. We'll get to more of that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you. We'll be joined by Charles Robinson to begin the 9 o'clock hour. C-Mace, Chris Mason, Preds TV analyst, coming up at 9:30, looking ahead to the Preds and the Washington Capitals a little bit later tonight. Joe Rexro, did you see this tweet from LeBron James yesterday? It says, we, the Dodgers and Rams, should all do a joint parade together with a live concert afterwards to end it. City of Champions, congrats to the Rams once again. So, first off, just leaving the LA Kings out of there. If you're going back 3 years for your championship, you might as well just go back to 2014 when the Kings won it. Just get in there. Why not?
That's true. I mean, the Raiders or the LA Raiders when they Marcus Allen lit up the Washington football.
Bring him back.
Yeah. So you got them too. Who else? Who else are we forgetting? Get some UCLA in there.
I mean, the Angels won back in like 03, 04, didn't they?
Yeah. Yeah. UCLA, Toby Bailey, 95. Yeah. Well, sure. Let's have a big joint.
He knows they're not going to make the playoffs, so he wants to do a parade.
The Lakers are 26-30 right now, but let's just go have a championship parade. Why not?
Let's have a big joint parade, and by that I don't mean a Snoop Dogg parade. I mean a combined parade. You know what I'm saying? Yes. I will say this on LeBron's behalf. I saw a ton of tweets. Well, there was one tweet in particular. It's like a Lakers fan account, and it was during the halftime show. You know, the Super Bowl halftime show, and LeBron is, you know, singing along and he's having a blast. He's dancing in the suite. And this tweet's like, you know, the Lakers are 26-30 and LeBron is, it's like, again, this is one of my all time. So again, you're not allowed to like enjoy even like part of your day if you have a losing team. Like you're not allowed to smile, dance, be happy at all. You must walk around in utter misery and anger if your team is not doing well.
Yeah, you can't have a life. You're not allowed to have a life.
You must wear. Exactly. You can't have a life. You must wear it on your face at all times. Do not do a podcast. No podcasting. No smiling. No fun.
LeBron, you better be going to shoot some free throws or sitting in a corner of your house staring at the wall. Those are your two options. I love it.
Yeah. You know, go back and look at some old, AC Green tape or something. Come on, man.
I will say the victory parade stuff. Let's just chill out. Just let the Rams have their moment, man.
Yes, that deserves to be ratio.
Yes.
Now you've taken it too far, LeBron.
Yeah, just dial it back there a little bit. Yeah. Kevin in Nashville texting in says, I think a rookie quarterback would make the Colts run the ball more and make a few throws, kind of like Roethlisberger, which is what the Titans should do as well. So maybe the strength is Kevin in Nashville saying the Colts run the ball even more with a rookie quarterback, and that prevents the bad turnover that Carson Wentz is prone to.
Yeah, you got to do more than that, though. I mean, you got to also make plays. The Titans beat the Bengals. Let's take it to Tannehill. The Titans beat the Bengals if Tannehill doesn't give them the game. We could all agree on that. I hope we could all agree on that. But the Titans aren't playing Sunday or winning Sunday if he doesn't do more than that, right?
I mean, yes.
Like you've got to make those plays like Stafford did to win that game, to win the Bucs game, to win the Niners game, like Burrow did to get them close to a shocking championship. It's great. Game manager, you run the ball, play defense, and that'll get you to a certain point. Very difficult to count on that. We're talking about winning championships here. I mean, we're talking about the Colts and the Titans. One of them's going to win the AFC South next year, and both of them aspire to be Super Bowl champions next year. So how do you get to that?
Keith on the text line says, lest we forget, the Titans were 12-5 division champs, the number one seed, three picks were thrown in the wrong game. You tweak, but you don't freak. This is coming from Keith. Tweak, but don't freak. Maybe that belongs on a t-shirt as well.
That's pretty good. Hashtag tweak, don't freak.
Yeah.
J-Rob's face on it.
Yeah. Which t-shirt would you get first, that one or the Jared Stillman Boohoo crew that you're now a part of?
Oh, my gosh. I love that so much.
I think both are good options. Go
ahead. No, I was just going to say, I think that opinion, it's naturally, it's like as time goes on. It's like as time goes on, Josh Heupel gets hired, as time goes on, maybe it's not so bad. Maybe there's excitement. As time goes on and you get further away from the loss, you get more like, okay, still a good team. Things aren't terrible. Tannehill's been really good. What can be done realistically? So, and that's in this case, that's probably where things should go.
Let's go to the text line. Got a text that says, do you think that we release Julio Jones or that he could retire soon? I think I would be surprised if Julio Jones retires.
I would also be surprised by that. And I'm suspecting the Titans keep him, but I wouldn't totally rule it out. After June 1st, you can, I think it's a around 4 million dead money.
4.8. Yeah.
But again, that date. So then what are you doing? What are you doing in your time period to add to your roster, before that date? I mean, I'm guessing that he's going to be with the team next year. And I think he could be a good player next year, but the frenzy over, oh my gosh, they got Julio Jones, which, hey, I was absolutely a part of because I thought that he still had vintage Julio Jones in him. I thought he looked like it for a good chunk of 2020. I think that's gone.
Oh, I think it is too. And look, I thought Julio Jones was going to have a big year for the Titans. I thought he'd be a downfield threat, and that did happen. Now, would I be shocked if the Titans moved on from him? No, I don't guess so. But it is also one of those things where you invested a second-round pick, and right now, what's a better option for number two wide receiver. Now, maybe you draft that guy and you feel good about it, but even if you draft a receiver, like, I'd still probably like to have Julio Jones out there too and just see what he could be like if he's healthy. Now, I don't have a ton of confidence that he's going to stay healthy next year, because how could you at this point with Julio Jones? But my guess is Julio is going to be a part of this team next year. Could be wrong. They've got some decisions to make, but that's my guess.
Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, it's a spot to fill. I mean, you got to get another player there, I think. You got to get a fast player there. But I mean, you need him still to fill that role, to fill a pretty, I think, significant role. If you were to move on from him, now not only do you need, I believe, that vertical threat that we talk about so much and have talked about for years, but now you also have to have another, at least like, reliable receiver on the other side. And I don't know who that is. I mean, there's some other guys that they have on the roster now who are solid, but I still think he can do more than all of those guys, and maybe by a big margin if he is healthy.
Kevin texting in says, Garoppolo probably would have beaten the Bengals, a la how he did against the Packers, talking about the idea of Jimmy G coming to being the quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts. I will say, if you watch the game, Jimmy G did not beat the Packers. I know he was the starting quarterback on the team that beat the Packers. Jimmy G did not beat the Packers. Packers special teams beat themselves, but I hear you.
Yes, but he got the win.
He did.
If victory is a quarterback stat, he gets the win.
That is true. That is true. I'm interested to see, like, our team's going to get into a bidding war for Jimmy G. Like, he's been connected to the Colts. He's been connected to the Bucs. Like, are teams going to be just throwing things around trying to get Jimmy G in there? I don't know. And he's won a lot of games. He has done that.
Well, I mean, it's sort of like the same list of teams when we were talking about, okay, who would take Tannehill in a trade? I mean, it's probably the same list of teams where, again, like, if you're Carolina, do you feel like, especially looking at your division now, that if you add him, you might actually be able to win your division? If you're, you know, if you improve in other areas, I think you might. It's certainly an upgrade. So a team like that, and again, that's a much less painful move than like trading for Ryan Tannehill, right?
Yeah.
So I feel like there's going to be a market for him. I mean, the teams that are looking, especially the teams looking to go from bad to like get into the playoff range, I would think would be interested in him.
I think so. You know, how is he viewed by teams out there? Because when we heard it from Corey Curtis yesterday, and I don't know that every team kind of views it this way, but Corey's philosophy was like, if you don't think you can win a Super Bowl with him, like, what's the point? What's the point of wasting your time there? Go try to find somebody who can. Now, again, to your point, the NFC South right now is basically quarterbackless, with the exception of Matt Ryan, and Matt Ryan is old. And he's not quite the same player that he used to be. So maybe it is Jimmy G, whether it's with the Bucs or the Panthers. Maybe we just figured it out. Carolina and Tampa Bay getting in a bidding war for Jimmy G. Would you be more likely, if you're the Bucs, to take your chances with Jimmy G or take your chances and hope that Tom Brady comes out of retirement? So I probably just hope that Brady comes out of retirement.
Well, I'm not just hoping. I mean, if I have an inkling, if I feel like, I mean, I can't just, hey, just hope he comes out. Like, I guess if you start to really feel like that's possible, I don't think that's happening. I really don't think that's happening.
Oh, I don't know that I'm going to bet that it's happening, but I'm at 50-50.
50-50. Okay.
I think
if you're the Bucks and you've got information on that, then yeah, you certainly, I guess, hey, hang on and hope it goes that way. But if it's just hope, I'd go get a QB.
Coming up next, it is time for Pred's Pick to Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. Be the first caller at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025, for your opportunity to guess the goal scorer for the Predators tonight as they take on Washington. If you get it right, you win a pair of tickets to a future Nashville Predators home game. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And it is that time of the day, time for Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. The Nashville Predators at home tonight taking on Peter Laviolette and the Washington Capitals in the standings in Preds Pick to Click are as such. The listeners and Joe Rexrode dead even with 12 correct answers apiece. The competition is heating up. Robbie Stanley with 10 correct answers. Michelle had a great week last week, has moved up to 6 in the competition as well. So things are tightening up a little bit, no pun intended, in this competition here in Preds Pick to Click. And with that in mind, let's go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in today's participant, Kyle from Cedar Hill. Kyle, what's going on?
Hey, good to talk to you guys.
Good to have you on with us, Kyle. So who is your pick to click tonight for the Predators against the Washington Capitals?
Well, I've tried this a few times, and I've been wrong every time. But every time I've called, this person scores. So I'm just going to kind of go with them this time. And I'm going to pick Forsberg.
Philip Forsberg, the selection by Kyle from Cedar Hill. Kyle, appreciate you calling in.
Thank you.
So Forsberg, the selection by Kyle from Cedar Hill, which apparently means he has not gone the Forsberg direction before.
Well, I don't know, man. Now that you picked him, I don't know. You should have gone a little bit deeper cut to me, but I'm always advising the listeners of that. I mean, Matt Benning's only been picked one time. I think that's a big oversight on the part of the listeners.
Yeah, I think so too. Joe Rexrode, your pick to click tonight for the Nashville Predators. Forsberg is off the board.
Matt Duchene.
We didn't even get like a Joe Rexrode talking himself through his pick right there. Pretty simple Matt Duchene vote there.
Yeah, I'm good.
I think we all could have guessed that one.
Michelle, your pick to click tonight. Forsberg and Duchene are off the board.
So I'm going to go a little bit different this time. I feel like I have a solid rotation of whoever doesn't pick Forsberg or Matt Duchene or Ryan Johansson. But I'm going to go Mikael Granlund today.
Mikael Granlund.
Just scored one.
I know. He scored one Saturday. So I think he's going to be on a little bit of a heater. Well, I hope.
Mikael Granlund, the selection by Michelle Knezevic. I'm going to go with Tanner Janot. Give me Tanner Janot in this matchup. You know, a lot of people, and John Glennon made this comparison yesterday on Preds Insiders. We've talked about it a little bit before. I don't think it's a perfect comparison, but I think it may be as close as a player gets in the NHL. Tom Wilson on the other side, maybe Tanner Janot finds a way to get a little offense going tonight in a game that we think that maybe he models a little bit after Tom Wilson. He doesn't go to the over the line as much as Tom Wilson does, and he's not the offensive player that Tom Wilson is, but Tanner Janot having quite the season. So I'm going with Janot.
Yeah, try not to be Tom Wilson to the full extent if you're Tanner Janot. But we've talked about that. It's kind of an obvious comparison. And it's been a minute for Tanner Janot. So I'd say that's a pretty good pick. I'd say he's due.
He put one off the post last game. So I have a feeling he's putting one in there tonight. Preds Pick to Click brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. Kyle from Cedar Hill selecting Philip Forsberg. Joe Rexrode going with Matt Duchene. Michelle Knezevic with Mikael Granlund. And Robbie going with Tanner Janot in the competition tonight. Peter Laviolette returning to Bridgestone Arena tonight. Joe Rexrode for the first time as head coach of the Washington Capitals. Obviously, lots of great success for the Predators under Peter Laviolette. A trip to the Stanley Cup Final. He won the division for the first time. He won the President's Trophy for the first time. Lots of really good things that happened under Peter Laviolette. What do you think the response from Predators fans will be tonight? And how do you, Joe Rexrode, look back at Peter Laviolette's tenure here as Predators head coach?
Well, I think that he should get a huge reception. Peter Laviolette's tenure here was the greatest hockey the Nashville Predators have ever played. So you can't take that era. It wasn't a long era, but you can't take that era and not credit him for a ton of what happened there. He's a guy who there seems to be a window of time for Peter Laviolette in each stop. And for whatever reason, it's kind of like, okay, it's time to move on. And that it got to that point here, and it wasn't all rainbows and puppies at the end. But you're talking about the one Stanley Cup final run in the history of the club, the one President's Trophy in the history of the club, and I think a really excellent coach and a guy who we talked earlier on the show. You know, Barry Trotz is always going to have a very special place in this city. I think especially for hockey people, and especially for people who came across Barry Trotz. I'm waiting to meet the person who doesn't like Barry Trotz. I have met some people who don't like Peter Laviolette. A person or two. Okay, he can be very difficult, but he was a great coach here, and yeah, I think he should get the full royal treatment.
I think he will, and I think, you know, I don't have any inside information on this, but I think you'll probably see a tribute video tonight for Peter Laviolette. I think he'll get a good reception. Lots of really good times under Peter Laviolette. I mean, I think it's pretty obvious at this point in his career that he's got a shelf life. Every coach has a shelf life to some degree, but I feel like Peter Laviolette's is pretty defined at this point. He's going to come in, and you're going to be pretty successful early on, and about 4 or 5 years down the road, it's time to cut bait. That's pretty much what the shelf life, for the most part, looks like with Peter Laviolette. But all in all, I think a really successful tenure for him as head coach of the Nashville Predators. We'll see what he can do in terms of the Washington part of this as well, because, you know, I guess I had either not been paying attention or was just unaware when Darren brought this stat up yesterday. But the fact that their power play is struggling the way that it is, number one, that draws me back to some nice Predators power play conversations that we had ad nauseum around here. But it is kind of amazing with guys like Backstrom and Oshie and John Carlson and Alex freaking Ovechkin that your power play is in the position that it's in.
Is Peter Laviolette a bad power play coach? Like, I honestly don't know, like, his track record with, like, the Flyers and the Canes and everything. You know, the Islanders, were they bad?
Well, that's the thing. Because they've dropped a spot, by the way. They were 28th. The Kraken scored last night, so now the Capitals are 29th on the power play. 29th out of 32 teams, and you have all those guys. They're at 14. They're at 15.5%.
That is, I mean, that's not good. No. That's not okay.
No, I mean, that's a pretty good reflection of your power play system just not working, right? I mean, you're talking about a power play that's perennially been in the top 10, top 5, basically because of one guy. Like Ovechkin just ripping it from the circle, and now they're 29th in the league. Still would not test that out tonight if you're the Predators. Like, try to stay out of the box because you don't want to give them some life.
Well, exactly. Right. And, you know, just gave up 3 power play goals and we're in the box for how long, how many minutes were in the box since Winnipeg? 30?
It's about 35 minutes of 30, penalties 30, now. 35 minutes? You had some misconducts in there and right, things that right. add to that. But, yeah, it was a lot of penalty minutes.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to. I'm playing a team with Ovechkin in the left circle. I do not want to be on the penalty kill.
By the way, the Predators' power play is still in the top 10, number 8 in the league right now at 24.7%. So the Predators have the better power play than the Capitals. Who thought we'd say that at any point this year?
And way better.
Yeah, like significantly better. It's pretty incredible to watch. This, to me, is a big game for Yossi tonight. I think the last two games coming off the break, he struggled and has made some plays that obviously are uncharacteristic of him. Some turnovers in the neutral zone. I think some bad decisions in the offensive zone that have led to opportunities going the other way. Big time for a response tonight. Like, look, I have no doubt that eventually Roman Yossi is going to figure it out and he's going to play better. But the last two games, I think, uncharacteristically bad turnovers from Roman Yossi.
Yeah, and you know, there's a lot on Roman Yossi. I mean, they lean on him in so many ways, and so when he makes a mistake, it's like a triple mistake, you know, compared to somebody else. But they have been costly, so you expect him to stop making those mistakes and to start making winning plays.
Coming up next, we'll be joined by Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. We'll get his thoughts on the Super Bowl, look ahead to some big offseason decisions throughout the NFL. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.